Let me say this as we get started, and I'm going to have you guys pray over them, and I'm going to switch here. This is going to sound bragging, but I'm actually setting it up for context. I've been on over 30 missions trips to 5 continents. The reason I say that, that's a lot of ministry, plus being here. Met a lot of leaders. These guys, in the last year, have become friends. And I want to tell you, as congregants of their church, these are the finest leaders I've met. That's why I've said that. They really are. They're sharp. They can hear from God. They're doing a great job. And y'all just extend your hands. And I just want you to pray with me. Father, I thank you for putting me with such... This is your saying it. I thank you for putting me with such a wonderful leader. It is rare, I'm telling you. And I thank you for this honor. And I just bless them now. And thank you for the good gifts in them. In Jesus' name, amen. We got one mic to share. Before we even ask questions, did y'all get anything for the region or something during this service that makes sense that you want to share? We're all ministers here. I don't want to get formal here, but if you got something.
Yeah, while worship was going on, the Lord was speaking to me about alignment. Of course, we know that's what this is about, too. And tonight is a significant cosmic event. Jupiter, planet Jupiter, is the closest to the Earth in its orbit. And Mike may feel led to share something he saw last night. But I really felt that there was a freedom of coming into the throne room, and that was before Craig prophesied over us, to make declarations, to be able to hear the heart of the Father and then make declarations. That's part of alignment. And another thing I heard was in respect to, the Lord led me to John 17, Jesus' prayer, that we all may be one as He and the Father are one. How many think that the Lord's prayer in John 17 is going to be answered and is being answered? Amen. Father, we'll see to it that it's answered. And I really believe that there's an alignment in the cosmic realm, and somebody mentioned the constellations tonight too. There's an alignment in the Lord will give us a picture of that. Tonight when you go out, if you look for the moon, Jupiter will be close by, be the brightest thing in the heavens tonight, and it's a clear night tonight, so that's good. And, of course, you know, the evil realm does things and says things and makes declarations about the planets and the stars and the zodiac and all that. But God put His story in the constellations. The whole story of redemption is in it, in the Maseroth. And so I really felt like there's in the natural we're able to see tonight, of all nights, this event. And then that there's an alignment in the spiritual realm, too. So this is significant, and it doesn't matter the size of, you know, the numbers that come together. It's the intention of our heart. And so that was what I was hearing tonight.
I'll share just for a moment. Just walking in here tonight and experiencing just worship together, just so intent, as I believe God's just knitting our hearts together with compassion for this region. And I know you ask about what God is showing us for the region, what we're seeing in that. And one of the things that started about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, as I was praying into the region, asking the Lord to show me, give me insight of what His heart was for the region, where He's taking us. He took me back to John chapter number 1. And to begin to go back into John chapter number 1 and see into what was happening there. And there are 3 things that are happening in John 1 that I believe are significant to the 3 things that are taking place in the region right now. First of all, in John chapter number 1, there was a major transition that was taking place from one order to another order. There's a huge shift right now, a huge transition in the realm of the Spirit. And everything that's taking place in the natural only mirrors what's taking place in the Spirit. But in the Spirit, there's a huge transition taking place that we can compare it to what took place in John chapter number 1. There was an order that was coming to an end. And there was an order that was being birthed. The order that was deceasing and coming to the end was led by the final prophet of that order, which was John the Baptist. And his order was decreasing and being done away with, where the order of Christ was increasing and being birthed and distributed. So what's happening, what's the difference between these two orders? Is this. John the Baptist was a proclamator of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist and Jesus spoke the same message. John the Baptist proclamated the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus proclamated the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the difference is, John the Baptist proclaimed the kingdom of heaven with no manifestation of signs, wonders, and miracles. How? Oh, did y'all feel that? Jesus. Oh, I hope I can get through this. Jesus. See, what you talk about comes into the room, and what you begin to honor starts multiplying. So we're talking about this, and whoo. So the order of John the Baptist, which represents the order of people who are proclaiming the kingdom with no manifestation, that order is deceasing and coming to an end, because God is raising up in this hour a generation who is walking in another order, the order of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who is not only proclaiming the kingdom of God, but is displaying the kingdom of God with signs, wonders, and miracles, because the John the Baptist order is deceasing and coming to an end, but the order of Christ is arising in this region where you will see signs, wonders, and miracles, and that'll be the normal. That'll be the normality of this region. Number two, and I don't want to take up everybody's time. I'm sorry.
I'm still Sean.
How do
you get through, pass it down to Sean?
I know, Sean, me and Sean just. Oh. Okay, number two, and I'll be brief. I'm going to try to sum everything up in 3 minutes or six.
We're in no hurry, man. We're good.
Okay, I just really want to honor the time. Number two, what we see, John the Baptist in the finality of his order was able to recognize Jesus as Messiah. He uses two sentences in John chapter number 1. He uses the word, "Behold the Lamb of God," two times. The first time he uses, "Behold the Lamb of God," it simply means to observe, see, look, gaze upon. And to the multitudes, he told them to gaze, behold, look upon Jesus as the Lamb of God. However, when Andrew and John, where Jesus was walking by, John the Baptist uses another word this time. When he says, "Behold," this time, the Greek word means to let him leave his imprint in your heart. Come on! Yes! So these two, see, we're just... So there's a transition between being a casual observer into letting him leave his imprint in our hearts. Number three, and I'll close and take up an offering here. Number three, when John the Beloved and Andrew comes to Jesus, they ask him this question. And Jesus first says to them, "What are you looking for? What do you want?" And they said, "We want to know where you live."
Ooh, that's good.
We want to know where you live. And Jesus said, "Come and see." He did not give them an address. He did not say, type in your GPS, these coordinates, because if he did, we would be tempted to just, oh, Jesus, I know a shortcut. I know how we can get there a whole lot faster. He says, if you're going to know where I am abiding, where I am dwelling, you have to do two things. You have to come and you have to see. And the implication in the Greek there is come and keep coming, see and keep seeing. So to those who are seeking to know where he is, he has this invitation that is extended that is saying, follow me, keep coming and keep seeing. So we're entering into a realm and a season of just being able to see on a level that we have never been able to see in before, to manifest the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven.
He also took me to John. Imagine that. And one of the biggest, most important things, not to undermine what he said because it's very true, but one of the things that he was really showing me and something that I have been walking through that he's not just releasing in this region but around the globe is sonship. Real sonship. Not a hope or an aspiration that one day I'm going to be a son, but that you know that you know that you know that you're a son. Because until we understand that we're sons and daughters, we're not going to walk in the fullness of what he's talking about. And the fullness is not for us, it's for you. We know he shows us our sonship so that we can train and equip you in your sonship. John 1:12 is where he took me this evening. Yet all, to all, he did receive him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There are two words in there you really need to understand. The word right is exousia. And you've been taught what dunamis and exousia is, right? Exousia is the authority to become a son of God. He gave you the authority. But what good is the authority if you never use it? You have the right to become a son of God. But are you walking as a son or daughter? I mean, seriously. He's releasing that. He's releasing that. And that word to become in the Greek is actually two words, to be, which is the word that means to transition from one place to another, to emerge. He's given you the right to emerge as a son of God. And that's where we come in. We want to help you emerge as a son or a daughter of God. Because that's going to be very, very, very critical to walk out everything that he's talking about, the signs, the wonders, the miracles. You know, Paul says in one of the epistles that we are citizens of God, which gives us a right to be in the kingdom. But you can't be a citizen unless you're first a son or a daughter. Because you're born into this kingdom. You don't go through immigration. I know it's a hot topic, but you're adopted into the family. You've been given the right to emerge as a son of God. You can stay a servant if you want to, but I don't know why you want to. Servants don't have an inheritance. He's releasing your freedom to release you from the orphan mindset. He's releasing a fresh outpouring of the spirit of adoption. Just pray. Father, we just ask you now. Yeah. We just ask you now to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge, the knowing, the intimacy of your thoughts on this, your heart for this for us. That we would know what is the hope of your calling, and the hope of your calling for us is that we know we're sons and daughters. And right now, where you're at, everybody's eyes closed. No, not that, that's cowardice. Everybody with your eyes open, not looking around. I want you to really put your hand on your head if you struggle with the mind of understanding sonship. If you really don't understand sonship, just put your hand on your mind. And then also put your hand on your heart. and say, Father, say it with me, Father, release sonship to me. If you're a girl, you can say daughterhood, but release it to me. I want it. I want to understand this. I need to understand this. I don't want to think of myself as a servant. I don't want to see myself as a servant anymore. I want to know what it means to be your son or your daughter. And I embrace my inheritance. Just say that. I embrace my inheritance. I receive my inheritance. In Jesus' name. That's one of the main things he's doing here. Because I'm telling you, the move of God is coming to the planet. If you don't know that you know that you know that you're a son of God, have you ever really encountered the holiness of God? I mean, the real holiness. I'm not talking about, you know, presence comes in measure. The presence of God comes in measure. And he pours out what we can withstand. We've not tasted the fullness of the glory of God. You know why? Because if we did, we would die. We really would. And I'm not saying this to try to scare you or hype anything up. We just need to reread the gospel. Where Jesus in Matthew 17 was transfigured. And Elijah and Moses came to visit him. It said that the disciples fell down terrified. We call it the fear of the Lord, but the Greek called it the terror of the Lord. And it's not a terror that makes you run, because every time he shows up in that manifestation, he always, first thing he says is, don't be afraid. But he knows what he is about, who he is as the Son of God. You understand, that's what is going to cause hell to tremble, is when you get this concept, it's more than a concept, this truth, that you're a son or a daughter of God, and you begin to walk in your transfiguration. Because that word for transfiguration there is the same word in Romans chapter 12, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every time you renew your mind, you are being transformed into that image of Christ on the mountain. And that's that holiness that creates the terror in the enemy. Was that okay? That's coming to the church. That's coming to the planet. I don't want to... I kind of felt like... But I'm telling you, we're going to do more than gasp when he manifests.
Let me say this before we pass it down. Sean Davis... I know all these people, so I apologize. Sean Davis is at The Place Global in Rome, Georgia. Michael Watkins is at Northwest Christian Fellowship in Vernell. Jim Height is at in Cleveland. The other two people hadn't spoken. You can introduce yourself, tell you who you are. Whichever one wants to go.
Praise God. Praise God.
So this is Mario. He's going to introduce himself here.
By the way, I'm Mario Miller, pastor of Abundant Life Bible Church here in Dalton. I'll tell you what, pretty much these guys are summing up some of the things the Father is saying, been saying into my spirit and my heart. But let me say this here. The other day I had something just really rise up strong in my spirit. And there's a couple of things I want to share. And it says, God's love for me is not based on what I believe about me. I'm going to say it again. God's love for me is not based on what I believe about me, nor what I believe about him. It's based on he is love. And I am to him son. Are you following what I'm saying? I was dealing with some things one time. Before I say this, because I think this is very important and it connects. What we're trying to do so many times is to be so many things to so many people that we're not being what we've been called to be. And that's what I mean is this. I was called to be so many things. A father. I was called to be a pastor. I was called to be all these things. I was called to be a husband and a worker. And I was all these things. And at that moment in my time, I was hating being who I was. I hated stepping in a pulpit. It brought me to nauseous. I become extremely nauseous even when I stepped in the pulpit, because everything around me seemed to not work. Everything that I thought I was, I wasn't. And I remember talking to my pastor, Steve Dennis, out of Rome, Georgia. I remember speaking with him and talking with him. He made a statement that just began to shift everything in my thinking. And what he said was, he said, faithfulness and focus equals fulfillment. Faithfulness and focus equals fulfillment. So immediately I began to latch on to that truth and begin to figure out which area was I missing. If I was missing one, I'm still missing fulfillment. If I miss focus, staying focused, then I'm not fulfilled. If I miss being faithful, then I'm still not fulfilled. But after the phone call, one-on-one with Father, and he said these words to me. He said, "Who told you to put all those hats on?" He said, "Who told you to do that?" He says, "I know y'all go around saying I'm wearing all these hats." He says, "You can't find that in the Word." He said, "I never told y'all to be that. Do all these things, be all these things to other people." I said, "Well, okay, Father, then what do I need to be?" He said, "My son." See, everything needs to come out of my sonship, which is my relationship with Papa. My relationship with Father, everything that I'm attempting to do to be what I need to be to somebody else doesn't need to come out of my ignorance of who I am. But it needs to come out of my identity of who I am in Christ. And out of that identity, watch this. Now I'm not going to live a perverted version of who I am. I'm not going to live based upon the perverted version of what somebody said I'm supposed to be. I'm not going to live a perverted version of what I think I'm supposed to be, of what I'm supposed to line up to. But I'm going to be exactly what Father has revealed to me in my relationship with Him. So now I can see me the way He see me, so I can be what I need to be to you. So now my prayer is, Father, reveal every lie that I believe about myself. Father, reveal every single lie that from the day you were born was the attempt to twist how you see yourself. Because how Father sees you is based on what He created you before the heavens and the universe was ever formed. So how does He see me? He sees me based upon when He created me, and He didn't create. He created me before He created this world. So every time I have an encounter with Father, He reveals more of me to me. Every time I go into His presence, He reveals more of me, of who I was in heaven, so I can become that here on earth. So the kingdom can now truly manifest itself upon the earth. We're not trying to get to heaven now. Glory to God, because I'm seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So I'm not sitting here on earth. Spirit is in heaven. And based upon that, in His presence in heaven, He's revealing me to me. So I can be what I'm supposed to be here on earth.
Martin Quinones, pastor at Worship Center at Westside. And I'm going to tell you that what these fine men up here are talking about is just resonating in my spirit. There's a lot of people that won't understand what's going on in your churches. There's a lot of people that don't understand what each and every single apostle, prophet, evangelist, minister of the word is doing. And it may not make sense to you, but one thing that as a church we have to understand today is that before the church came, before you came, the calling was already over the lives of those that were called to lead you. Amen. That's where alignment comes in, because the word of God says that the anointing flows from the head. The head is Jesus Christ. Then it flows down the beard. Here's the beard. And then it flows down to the garments. And a lot of times the garments want to produce the anointing, but that's not where it's produced. It's produced at the head. And if you're not in alignment, you're not going to get that anointing. It's not going to flow. It's going to be a perverted anointing. So we have to be in alignment. That's the first thing. Second thing, sonship. Oh, okay, well, I have to be a son. I have to be a son. Let's see. So as a son, I should be rebellious and I should kick and scream and throw a temper tantrum because I don't want to do what God is asking me to do. Don't give me a mic. But we have to understand our position of as sons and daughters of the King. We're not brats.
Wow. Say that again. Say that
again. We are not brats. We're chosen people. Peculiar people. We're strange. People in the world are going to call you strange. Guess what? I'm fine with it. Because I know He calls me His son. And He says, I am proud that you're doing what I'm asking you to do, not what everybody else is asking and expecting you to do. That's why when we get there, He's going to say, well done. Good and faithful. Good and faithful servant. Because we serve Him first before we serve you. Alignment. Sonship. Revelation was brought forth. We've been teaching this Wednesday night at church. Some people think it's irrelevant. But revelation is not for you to go around and say, God speaks to me, so everybody should do what I say. I'll say that again. Revelation is not for you to go around telling people, do as I say because God speaks to me. Revelation is given by God for Him so that you could understand who He is. And as you understand who He is, then you understand who you are. And as you understand who you are, then you fall into alignment, you fall into sonship, and then we can take over this community, this region, and the whole earth, because the Great Commission is not just to go to your backyard. I'll let that sink in.
This is a big deal. Let's just pick on Michael. He's fixing to go to Bethel School of Ministry out there. And all of a sudden, he just starts flowing in all kinds of healing, miracles. They raise up revivalists. That's what that school is. Signs and wonders, okay? And so I'm coming back to that. What Michael said is true. The Lord's wanting to do it in all of us. But let's use him as an example. You know, that would be a bad thing to happen to him if all of a sudden he thinks, I'm more important. That God loves me more. And I'm something. You see the problem? God loves him because he's a son, whether he ever does a sign and a wonder. Okay? I've ministered long enough. There are periods of my life the fruit is off the charts. and I feel good about myself. There are other times in my life there's no fruit and I feel bad about myself. That's messed up. See, I'm basing my identity on what I do instead of who I walk with. There are seasons of fruitfulness and there are seasons where it's germinating. Pastors are some of the most insecure people I've ever met because they don't know that they're a son. The reason I say this is if we have to learn this son lesson for the signs and wonders and witnessing and healing and prophetic words and everything else to flow through us, or else we'll be perverted by his blessings. You see what I'm saying? And so they're going to go hand in hand. They're both going to happen. The signs and wonders are going to happen. But he wants to get us to a place where we could be, this is going to freak us out, but this is the way the Lord works. We could be right in the middle of some of the greatest signs and wonders we ever did, but because we've got a relationship with him and we're about his business, he says, I want you to stop for a time. Well, there's fruit everywhere. Are we the fruit or his son? John 6, you read that, longest chapter in the New Testament. Jesus just had a great ministry. He fed the 5,000. If it was today and if it was me, I would have had a 5,000 meeting every day. I would have been on Charisma, Christianity TV, TBN. It would have gone global internet, baby.
Come on.
Why? Because we think that's the pinnacle. No, that's his business. And we're about his business and we're going to do his business. But he walked away after one meeting. Why? Because Father said, this is all I want to do in this meeting. He was a son first and the business second.
Come on.
It's good. So all this is amen. Who else wants to go for a few more minutes?
Everybody say encounter. We say that term like Holy Spirit encounter or encounter worship or something like that. But did you come and did you have an encounter? I mean, did you have an encounter? Here's where you know if you had an encounter. If you walk out of here changed and you allow that encounter to become an experience, not another experience on top of the encounter, but it becomes an experience that you become experienced from the encounter. Well, that's what true repentance is, right? Changing the way you think after being with. We've always left out the after being with, but that's included in the meta of the noia. Change after being with. You come to church and you don't change, you've not had an encounter. You sitting in your house reading your Bible, you don't change, you've not had an encounter. And this gospel from table of contents to maps is about encounters. He's always been a God of encounter. It's never just doctrine and theology and all of this other good stuff. It's about encounter. When's the last time you had a real encounter? Not a goosebump. Not even a Hulk bump. When's the last time you really had an encounter that you can put in the form of a testimony and articulate it to someone else? He's all about encounter. Psalm 139 from the Passion Translation, verse 15 and 16. It's very important that you understand that what Mario was saying about before all of this was, we were. You have a book written with your entire life in it, and it is a book full of encounters. And if you dare believe him, he will show you the book. Daniel talked about books being opened. John and the Revelator talked about books being opened on that day. Guess what? What if the book that you're supposed to be living from is opened and you're like, I never knew that book existed. I've seen my book. I've seen, you can call it a scroll of destiny, you can call it a whatever you want to call it, but I've seen mine. Two angels presented it to me. I'm telling you about an encounter I had, and it's okay to talk about my encounters. Now, if you think in your mind that I'm trying to put myself up here, you don't know who you are. Because I was given the right to emerge or to become what I'm telling you about right now. I know I'm a son, and I'm not ashamed of it. And it's only until you can talk about your sonship like Jesus talked about his, can you ever really know that you're a son or a daughter. Did Jesus ever back off of talking about his papa and who he was? No, I came to do what I see my father do. I came to say what I hear him say. That's confidence. That's not arrogance. That's knowing who you are. But here it says, you even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. You have a book written about your life. You need to ask him to show you where you're at. What page are you on? What paragraph? What sentence? I'm telling you, you don't have to believe what I'm saying, but I will tell you this. A man with an experience is not at the mercy of someone with only an argument. So I just gave you scripture, and I'm telling you my experience. I was there when it happened. You can be there when it happens to you. He wants it. He wants you to come after him. And if you're really going after him, guess what else he'll do? He'll do what? Was it Zechariah? Zephaniah is one of the Z's that where it says that he will sing over you. I heard him sing over me. I think it's Zephaniah 3:17. He will sing over you. And it actually is translated also, he will dance over you. I heard him sing over me and dance over me. I'm telling you. We need to talk. You have permission to talk about your encounters. Listen, I've already been introduced as weird, different, peculiar, and crazy. I'm actually the one that's got the different water bottle up here. See? Everybody else has the same water bottle but me, so I'm that guy. You got one too? Well, he's got two, so he's got the double portion of weirdness going on. But you need to be free to talk about your encounters. Why? Because it's an expression of your sonship. It's nothing that we should be ashamed to talk about in here. As long as we don't talk about it, they're not going to know about it. Because guess what? You've not been called to talk about Jesus. You've been called to demonstrate Jesus. You can't do that unless you know who you are.
You ain't getting the mic back. Praise God. Wow. Father said this to me this past week. Last Saturday, I got to experience something that was pretty odd for me, because I was asked to be on a panel of people that were sharing opportunities where people can communicate to you how we can get some things done within our system of people coming out of prison. And I never forget what took place, because when I stepped into that, they didn't give me an outline of what I needed to say or anything. But because when you are coming into your identity, or you're walking in your identity, whatever Father wants to say, you want to say it. Amen? So if he don't want to say nothing, then he just don't want to say nothing. And I didn't have anything to say but something of encouragement. I call that pretty much an ordinary moment. That was just an ordinary moment. But a young man got up and he began to share his passion and his heart about what he was looking at, the need to take place in the church and so forth and so forth. And while he was standing there, Father showed me him 10 years from where he was that day. I'm sitting there and I'm seeing him minister, but yet I seen him 10 years ahead of time. And I walked up to him afterwards and said, "Can I share with you what I experienced when you was up there ministering?" He said, sure. I don't mind. Go ahead. And I said to him these words. I said, "I saw you 10 years ahead of time." And he said, "How did I look?" And I said, "You look good, man. You look pretty amazing." But I said something next that I did not realize what was getting ready to take place. And I said, "Trust the process." I said, I don't know where you are and what you're encountering and what you're going through, but trust the process. When I said that, trust the process, this man began to, eyes began to well up with tears, and his wife just lost it. I went from an ordinary moment now to an extraordinary moment where God was ready to do something extraordinary in his life. I said this to say this. I said that to say this. Don't let your mind minister to your moment. Don't let your mind minister to your moment. Because what God is doing is what God is doing, and he doesn't need you to use this to explain him. I'm not being mean. I'm just being forward. He said, by doing that, it explains away my purpose and my will for that moment. When we're using our intellect, our humanity to explain deity, instead of deity explaining to humanity who it is. I'm constantly listening now. Ears attentive, wide open. I don't want to hear humanity. If it's coming from humanity, I need to know if it was deity. If it was Father, because if it's humanity, then it's limited. And it may be their reality and not God's reality. And that's what I want. I want his truth, his revelation. Because in his revelation, it's going to bring transformation. So I challenge you, even in your mind, when God is doing something, don't go in there. Stay out of there. If it doesn't make sense, don't go in there. Don't go into your mind. Sit back. Pray unto the Father. Look into your spirit, man. See if Father wants to reveal through the Holy Spirit who is the paraclete, who comes along to assist you in everyday living. The Holy Ghost.
Pastor Craig and I and a few more were at Northwest Christian Fellowship back maybe a couple of months ago. We was having a prayer session from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And when we were going into that, we were praying into that, the Lord began to open up a couple of things. And I went into this vision, and the Lord began to show me some things concerning Relationship Church and concerning this region. And when I went into this vision, it was an open vision, and it was very similar. It reminded me of what happened in Pharaoh's dream in the book of Genesis. If you're not familiar with Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh's dream was this: out of the river came out seven fat calves, and then seven skinny cows came out and ate up the fat calves. And the interpretation of the dream was there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and the 7 years of famine were going to eat up the plenty. And then Joseph began to implement the system how to sustain the people through that time. But when I began to see into this, I saw the reverse of that taking place, but the number was not seven, the number was five. I saw five skinny cows emerge out of the river, and then seven or five fat cows came out and ate up the skinny ones. And I began to intercede and say, Lord, what are you showing me about that? And he began to speak to me that the next 5 years, there's going to be such an abundant outpouring and release of the Spirit that it is going to overcome and overwhelm the last 5 years of lack and not enough. And I want to prophesy and release over Relationship Church, over this region, over every family in this region. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you are entering into a season that begins here, now, today, where the next 5 years is going to be 5 years of abundant outpouring, release of the manifest presence of the Spirit of the living God, the resources of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, that will absolutely swallow up and make it seem like the 5 years, the last 5 years where there have been lack and not enough, you're going to be so overwhelmed by the abundance that it's going to seem like the lack never even existed.
Oh, we receive it. We receive it in Jesus' name. I want to close with two things real quick. What Pastor Sean was talking about just knowing where He is. As sons and daughters, as you recognize your place as a son and daughter, instead of being jealous like Joseph's brother were, what you're saying is that your papa's not fair enough. That what he did for Joseph and what he's done for Sean and what he's done for every single person here or sitting next to you or in front of you, he can't do for you. You're serving the wrong papa. Because if he buys Craig ice cream, he's going to buy me ice cream. He's going to buy Michael ice cream. He's going to buy everybody here ice cream. Because that's my papa. Because he loves us all the same. So until you understand that He loves you that much, you're going to stop envying your brother, your sister. Because He loves you. We're not in competition with each other. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. One more thing I'll release and I'll let it be. I promise you, I wanted to be the moderator. I didn't want to be part of the panel. John 20:22 says, He breathed on them. Breathed on them. P-N-E-U, the new. The dynamic movement of air. The blow or the blow through an instrument to produce a distinct musical sound. Could also be to emit fragrance. And we get the word pneuma, which is life, life force and power. I believe that He's breathing that dynamic flow of air in this region. And He's releasing that new sound. And He's releasing just a fresh movement. And like I've told WCW before, and I'm telling you tonight, you have to unlearn what religion has taught you and get into a relationship with Papa so that you understand and know where He's taking us next.
Man, I could do this for another hour. We've done this for almost an hour. But it won't end. It'll end for tonight, but it won't end here. So we talked about in the prophetic council group of churches last fall. If each church is a team, and it should be working as a team, and it's moving that way, that He is making a team of teams in this region, and He's doing it. We had WCW and RC together on the worship team. We could have just as easily added Martin and Justin and Mario, but then Sean Blockley, my worship leader, would have killed me. And so we stopped there. But this is the amazing thing. Like even tonight's a picture that even 2 years ago was not happening in this region. You got six pastors here sharing, preferring one another. Tonight, there was four different singers, two bands. The team of teams is happening. So, and I'm telling you, it is crucial that it happens. The revival will not happen through one church. It's just mandated. I don't have time to go through that. Or one event. It's just His will is going to happen through you know, whatever, multiple churches that have relationship first. like the signs and wonders, you have to have a relationship with Him first. So this is there's other good things planned for the year. And they're not events. They're to show. We come back together. We get to know each other. They're a showcase of preferring one another. Amen. Father, I just thank You for this evening. And we could go on all night. But I know there's little kids here. And we got school tomorrow. And this is just, it's not even a start, because there's been many starts just in the last year. But it's a continuation of the kingdom of God moving, and it'll keep moving in our individual teams and in team, all team events. And Father, I just bless these people, and I just encourage these people, and I exhort these people, and we just release. Did you have something? In Jesus' name, we'll close out with Him.
Pastors, please extend forth your hands like this, just like this. Church, you're in good hands. When these men start preaching sonship, the enemy will come to discredit them. And when you hear somebody discrediting your pastor, you say, "That doesn't sound like my pastor. I know my pastor." It's the most strength I've ever seen represented in all my life. You're in good hands. Period. Support, love, pray for, and defend your pastor. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. Dismissed.